Government. Not even government, government, because we're American. Right? Let's talk about, whoa, let me see if I can fall off this thing. Government should be good. By the way, I've decided if the microphone buzzes, I'm just going to act like I'm being shocked and fall over. It'll be fun. Just so you know, if it does it this time around, I'm just going to fall. It'll be good. So, let me start here. Oh, you've got the extra one just in case. A man is on it. Like I said, amazing servants here. I'm going to start with these two verses there towards the end of what we're going to read today. I want to start here, and then I'll do some what ifs. I'll ask some questions. Let me read them because you're already reading them, and then I'll do it. Let everyone submit to the governing authorities. Oh, I don't like this. I don't like where this is going. I think Paul's got some problems. He should have stopped writing already. Let everyone submit to the governing authorities. Since there is no authority except from God, pay your obligations. This is in that context. Respect to those who you owe respect. Hey, Paul, have you met our politicians? Honor to those who you owe honor. So let me just start off, because there are biases even in how we look at the word and interpret it. So I'll just tell you my bias. It's just, I want to put all the cards on the table. I think some of the scariest words in life are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. I do. That's from an actual speech by a president many years back. I think the government that governs best governs least. I don't want them in control of every aspect of my life. And I'm telling you that because you may feel different, and you need to know my implicit bias and even explicit, I'm telling you, as we go into this thing. But let me just ask some what ifs, because we just read submit. The word for submit, hupotasso, willful submission, I place myself under. And he doesn't say you get a choice. He says do it. Let everyone, hupotasso, place yourself under the governing authorities, since there is no authority except from God. Pay your obligations. It says this is what you owe. This is what you owe. You buy a TV, they're going to want you to pay for that TV at some point. I know it's only $10 a month. At some point, they're going to want that money. Whether the credit card lent you or whatever, they're going to want you to pay. This is what you owe. Respect to those whom you owe respect in government. Honor to those who you owe honor in government. Okay, now this would never happen because we're the United States of America, but let me just place this out there. What if somebody got elected to Congress years and years and years and years and years and a long time ago, all right? And they didn't have a lot of money. They had some. And after years and years and years, they've been in, like forever, they've been in Congress. I'm not even going to deal with presidency because that gets into personality. They've been in Congress. And now they are like not just rich, but filthy rich. You know what I'm talking about? Like they're lighting their fires with $100 bills, that kind of thing, or it's going up their nose. One of the, but I'm saying they got cash just to waste. And you look, and it doesn't look like the spouse made a bunch of money. You can't figure out where they got an inheritance. You're going like, where did this come from? And there's word kind of going around, and maybe there were some kickbacks where there was legislation, and it was favorable, and the company might have given them some kickbacks, and maybe even with some foreign corporations. And now, I know that would never happen in America, right? Wouldn't happen. But how does that affect? Or what about this? What if there was a child, and this is not president, I know the president thing, and we're not going to talk about that, I'm not getting into personalities that way, but what about in Congress? There was a child that was on the board of a foreign corporation, and they had no experience whatsoever. True story, I just read it recently. Again, making bank because of the connections of mommy or daddy. Pay your obligations, respect to those who you owe respect. Honor to those who you owe honor. What if, and again, it would never happen, but what if somebody lived in a huge mansion during COVID times when people were getting laid off and actually had the audacity to show you their $5,000 fridge freezer things and pull out like really expensive little tiny cartons of ice cream? Do I feel respectful towards that person at this point? Now, let me hit the other side. What if you've got a family values candidate? I'm reaching back a few years. Very pro-family, family values, biblical sexuality, the whole thing. And then this cat gets caught in an airport soliciting another man. Do I owe him respect? Where's the line? Do I respect this guy? Where do I go with this sort of thing? What if Somebody had the audacity, again, it would never happen. What if somebody had the audacity to call their followers on their side of the aisle to get up in the faces of those on the other side of the aisle, the politicians, and not let them have peace any side out, anywhere outside of Congress, in restaurants, chase them out, in supermarkets, wherever they go, chase them, go to their houses, bang on pots, and actually call their followers to do that? Do I respect that congressperson? Sorry. A little passionate at the moment. Do they get my respect and my honor? I just read the verses. That one's hard. What if the Constitution was the law of the land? And it is, right? That's supposed to be our law of the land. And what if governors granted themselves emergency authority that never seemed to end and ruled by mandates by one person saying, we're going to do this from now on. Okay, I'll let this many people go to this gathering. At what point? Where's the line? Do I say, you know, I think the Constitution overrules you, who, by the way, tend to exempt yourself from the very rules you're putting us under. You feel the tension in this now? Let everyone submit to the governing authorities. Pay honor to who you honor, respect to whom you respect. I just want to put it out there. I don't feel incredibly respectful sometimes, and I don't really want to honor. In fact, I don't really want to submit. I'm more of a, you know, it's feeling kind of like 1776 right about now. I'm that guy. I'm not going to do it. Well, Zuckerberg, not going to do it, promise. But I'm feeling that way. I'm feeling that way, right? What if, let me give you, because this cuts both sides. What if we had presidents who, instead of signing laws and executing the laws that Congress made, started signing something, we could call them executive something, and started making law by executive mandates, orders. How about that, executive orders? And they started making law because both sides have done it. Do I respect that? Oh, I do when it's my side, right? Well, they had to. They couldn't get along. That guy, I can't believe he's doing it. I don't feel respectful, and I don't want to honor. Do you know what I'm talking about, some of you? A little bit. Kind of feel that tension because we live in America, and in this country we have the freedom. In fact, we've been told that it is patriotic to stand against and to use our voices. We do have that freedom. They didn't have that at the time of Paul. You can speak against Rome once, right? Enjoy that, because that's right. This right here, you gone. Yeah, off with your neck. So let me start this way. God created authority. It is endemic to our world. It's part of how we live as human beings. The idea, the concept of authority, somebody being over us, comes from God. And ultimately, we are responsible to God. And we're American, so we don't like authority. I mean, our whole nation, the DNA of who we are was built on, yeah, we ain't doing that no more. We're going to dump your tea in a harbor. You guys line up like good little soldiers. We're going to be in the woods because we didn't come here to fight fair. We came here to win. This is America. So there's something within our DNA. We don't like authority. But let me just challenge the other side of that without authority. Remember Katrina? Some of you? The authorities are gone. Everybody's evacuated. And people are, as the floods are coming in, stealing huge TVs, because that makes sense. Then they get all in the Superdome. And you don't have nearly enough law enforcement because most people have left. And there's rapes and robberies and murders because you had no authority. Authority restrains the sinful, fallen nature that humankind has, and so it is needed. Without authority, you've got somebody saying, it's just the summer of love, as they annex blocks and decide they're going to be their own zone. And again, rapes, robberies, murders. All sorts of horrific things happen within that zone. Without authority, you have riots. And you have the murder rates go up and the thefts go up, and they say we're going to defund the police, and people and the police start getting, they've had enough. They've had enough of taking it on the chin, and if they even try to do their job, the good ones, whatever, I don't care how you work it out, they're going to get lawsuits and they're going to go to jail, and people are going to come to their houses and threaten their families, so the police start leaving, and then the politicians who said we're going to defund the police start going, oh crap, what have we done? We need authority. We're meant to have authority over us. God created authority for a reason. It restrains the sinful nature of humankind. And you know this. I've seen enough dystopian movies where nobody is around. Somebody's going to rise up and become a warlord, and they're going to own everything. matter of time. It always happens. Our world, we said this last week and 2 weeks ago, is working hard to destroy what God created, the whole concept of authority. To invert the created order, it is in every sense anti-Christ. And that's true for authority as well. So I need to do a little teaching, and then we'll jump in. Stay with me, all right? God created three spheres of authority. Three spheres, three realms, three areas of authority. All three of them come from God. All three of them exist because of God. All three of them exist on the back of God's authority. Family, government, and church or ecclesiastic. This is hard because you hear church and you start thinking, Colt, what's he going to do? Well, I've created a Robinson town. I think it'll be fun. You guys should join. The juice is amazing. Kool-Aid. Three. Family, government, and church. And we're going to talk them through. These are three realms of authority, your spheres of influence, spheres of authority that God created. First of all, family. Very first thing that was created. And the family is there. Mother, father, raise a child. Hopefully raise them to adulthood, right? Disciple them, train them so that they know good and right and what's evil and to stay away from it. And then multiply and fill the earth. And parents are servant authority, servant authority, servant. They're serving God and serving their kids by exercising good and right authority over their kids for their good. And it will include sacrifice on the part of parents, won't it? Right, parents? Like, if you're going to be a parent, but you have no desire to sacrifice for your kids, please don't. Just don't have kids, please. For the rest of us, please. You're going to have to sacrifice time. You're going to have to sacrifice your attention when you're so tired and you just want to gel in front of the TV or the phone. You're going to have to give the kids the attention that they... You're going to have to be a parent. That includes sacrifice. That is servant authority. And that was the first thing that was created. We looked at that recently where God brings Eve to Adam. And he breaks in a song. This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was brought out of man. And, oh, he's singing. This is poetic. And then God says this, for this purpose, a man will leave his mother and father. That is authority structure. And be united to his wife. That is new authority structure. And the two will become one flesh. By the way, just as a freebie, when you get married, you're no longer connected in terms of authority to your parents. You can listen to them, and if you're smart and if they were wise, you should, but they're not your authority. You now are your own authority structure over your own kids. And the problem comes in is when a spouse leaves mother and father physically, moves in with husband or wife, and is still attached to mother and father, it causes a problem. It's a new authority structure. For the good of human flourishing. That's what it's supposed to be. Let me do this. Is God's intention always worked out in family? The way that it's supposed to be, are parents always what they ought to be? Oh, you guys are quick on that, right? Yeah. Because we live in a fallen world, absolutely. Should kids always obey and respect? What if mama says, I want you to go in to the store and I want you to walk out with this stuff under your jacket? Should kids always obey their parents? Or parents, should they always be obeyed without question? No, of course not. Absolutely. Hey, we need some extra cash. I want you to take the kids at school that look weak, beat them up and take their lunch money. Well, no. There is a line. The question is, where is the line? Let's go a little further. With church or ecclesiastic, in other words, religious authority, this one scares us again because of cults, right? Jonestown and all the rest, and even just toxic churches where the pastor's word is the word. That's a little scary. The church is an authority under Christ to reach people who are far from Christ. All of us are part of that. To teach those who don't yet know or to help those who do know to grow, to make disciples those who would follow after Christ and do what Christ would do if he were here. Jesus said that they're supposed to do all things that he would do, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. That's a disciple. And then protect the sheep, right? If you got somebody in here who's pulling a scam, you want elders to say, hey, you don't get to do that. Absolutely not. Out. You got somebody in here who's preying upon the sheep. You want somebody. If you got somebody who just loves to divide and cause problems, hey, let's talk about what's going on with you. Oh, you want to keep doing that? You can do that, but not here. So to protect the sheep. This is, again, what's that first word? What kind of authority? Servant authority. If it's about me and you have to do what I say, there's a problem. But if it's, hey, how do I serve you according to your needs? Because that's what love is. Servant authority over church, family, under sola scriptura. So in other words, the Bible is a court of highest authority, and it will include sacrifice on the part of the leaders. You may not know this, but our leadership team serves incredibly well. One of our guys is always in the back at the sound booth, has been up here more times than I could count. You don't know this, but there was a day that the plumbing wasn't working well. He was under the building all day with a plumber in sewage, working on the pipes. That's one of our leadership team. He's not a guy sitting around saying, kiss my ring. He's saying, how can I serve? Our other guys are constantly serving. And by the way, let me just throw this in because I got a moment. Anytime you got a problem, if you don't feel like you can come to me, go to one of those guys. That's David. That's Chuck. That's Ken in the back. Go to those guys because they are not yes men to me. They got no problem telling me no. So if you got a problem with something I'm doing and you don't feel like it, go to one of them. They'll be glad to pull me up short. Right, David? Oh, yeah, that was a quick yes. Absolutely. He kind of enjoys it a little too much. So let me ask you this. Are churches always healthy and fulfilling God's intentions for them? Are all churches healthy, good churches that give freedom? And no, of course not. Should we obey and pray for and respect our elders when they're telling us you can't watch this movie, you can't listen to this music, you better not wear this, I need to know where you went Monday through Saturday, or you're not welcome in this building? Like, if they're toxic and abusive and overarching, should we always respect and pray for and hang out with them? No, absolutely not. So where's the line? Because church is an authority to serve. And we place ourselves under that authority when we join a church. I was part of a church before I became a pastor of a church, and I was under the authority of my pastor. He discipled me. Let's get to the third one, because that's the one we're going to deal with most today. Government. Government, according to the scriptures, is there to punish evil. That's the point of it. To reward good behavior and to protect citizens. And that's it. Government is a servant authority as God created over citizens, and it includes sacrifice on the part of the government authorities in order to do what's right. And what I mean is, if you're in government, let's work this out. It'll sound crazy because I'm sure it never happens, but what if you're in a government position and somebody offers you a bribe to give their company the contract? If you're going to do what's right, servant sacrifice means I have to say no to the cash I could really use because I'm just a government employee, I don't make much. It includes servant sacrifice. Is God's created order always worked out within government behavior? Are our government folks, do they always take care of us and watch out for us and do what they ought to do? Of course not. Absolutely not. You live in America. You know this. Should citizens always obey and respect? Well, where's the line? That's the question we've got to deal with today. Original purpose, just one more thing. I'm just teaching as we get into it. Stay with me. Original purpose matters, but mission drift happens. You know this. Organizations, mission drift happens. Even within families, mission drift. We know what we're going to be, and then several years down the line, we're at each other's throats and we're yelling at the kids, even though we never wanted to be that. Mission drift happens. It happens within Harvard, Princeton, Yale, a lot of the colleges. I don't know if you know, they were started for the propagation of the gospel. Those three right there specifically, their first degrees they gave out were seminary degrees. They wanted the Bible to go forth so that all people could know Jesus. Try going to one of those colleges now and preach on their campus. It's not going to go well for you if you're a student. You may get thrown out for being intolerant. There's a free speech zone. That's the only place you can do it. And even then, if you're preaching a section of scripture they don't like, they may throw you out if this happened. That's mission drift. Mission drift happens. It happens to churches that love Jesus very much, and pretty soon, if they're not careful, all they really care about are causes, not Jesus. It happens to adoption agencies. Happened this week. An adoption agency that is very biblical said, we're going to give kids to mother, father, families. And they caved under pressure. Billy Graham's relative is one of their spokespeople, and said, yeah, we're not going to give kids to same sex. And you may be for or against that, but they have changed in terms of what they will do and in terms of what they believe was most healthy and best for kids. They caved. The United Methodist Church, again this past week, announced that the conservative, those who are biblical, not politically conservative, but those who are biblical and hold to the scriptures, are going to break off from the rest of the UMC. because the rest of the UMC has experienced mission drift, and scriptures are no longer scriptures. Mission drift happens. God's purpose in creating still remains. Fallen men can pervert what God created, but His original purpose remains. So there are three spheres of authority created by God, and we get to talk specifically about government. And let's be honest, I don't want any authority over me. Do you? I don't like it. I'm American, man. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Let me do my thing. If I got a gun, I'll kill an animal and eat it. Or a Kroger, same thing. But I'm saying, leave me alone, man. Leave me alone. Even God Himself. I'm saying to Him, tell me your will, and I'll decide if I want to follow it. That's the subtext for most of us. Yet we're made for guardrails. It restrains sinful nature. We've talked about that through this series. What happens in places with less cops and less enforcement? We need authority over us. We need those guardrails. And so, as Paul is writing, what we're going to read in Romans 13, Israel is under occupation. They don't own their own land. And Christianity is seen as a dangerous offshoot of Judaism because it is spreading to Gentiles. And here's why it's dangerous. You're a Gentile. You're not a Jew. You had no problem bowing the knee to Caesar and to a bunch of other gods. You come to know Jesus. Are you going to bow the knee to Caesar? Are you going to proclaim that He is Lord? Not no mo. It's dangerous. It's seditious. That's what Christianity is seen as. That's why it will be persecuted. No one rises against Rome. No one. And lives to tell about it. And yet these Christians now seem like they're going to rise against Rome because they won't proclaim Caesar as Lord anymore. And that is seditious. That's where we jump in. Romans 13:1. Let everyone submit to the governing authorities. There's no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are instituted by God. So all true authority derives from God, who has all supreme authority. It has its mandate from God, and God instituted all authority that existed. And yes, it'll go astray. But again, let me tell you, submit. Hupotasso, willful placing oneself under the authority of. Now, he's speaking of government as God intended. So then, the one who resists the authority is opposing God's command. And those who oppose it will bring judgment on themselves. Ooh, okay. Well, where's the line? What if government is deciding what scriptures can be preached in a church on a Sunday? Do you say, well, I got to submit to government at that point? Where's the line? What if a pastor must submit the name of every person and address that attends every single Sunday to government? Because that has been proposed here in America during COVID times. By the way, we won't do that. Absolutely not. But where's the line? How far do you go in these things? Well, let's look at the example of Jesus and the example of the Apostle Paul. Sanhedrin were the lawful authority under Roman authority. So Rome reigns, and then the authority over Israel were the Sanhedrin. That's Pharisees and Sadducees, religious leaders. Right? Respect them, honor them, obey them. And so the Pharisees are the lawful authority. And they tell Jesus, heal on another day. This is the Sabbath. You cannot heal this day. And Jesus is like, nah, bruh, we're doing it today. He here today, I'm here today. Stretch out your hand. Hand is healed. They want to kill Jesus. There's another time. There's just one of many. By the way, when you realize that Jesus yelled at the religious leaders, He's yelling at the government over Israel. He's calling them whitewashed tombs, full of dead men's bones, sons of hell. He's yelling at the government over Israel. There's another time where the disciple said to him, do you know if the Pharisees were offended when they heard what you said? And Jesus said, leave them be, they're blind guides. He wasn't worried about who was offended, He was worried about truth. So there is a higher authority. And remember what He said about Herod. Do you remember what He called him? That what? Do you remember this? That fox. Now you and I hear that and we think, maybe he meant like snake. No, no, no. Fox was a dirty animal that hung out around dead animals. It was considered unclean. It was one of the worst. He was calling him a pretty bad name when he did that. And he's talking about Herod. That's how he handled those in authority who did not handle their authority well. Well, that's Jesus. We're not Jesus. What about the Apostle Paul? Paul and Silas are in Caesarea Philippi, named after one of the Caesars. He's advocating customs not lawful for Romans to accept. And here's what I mean. You're supposed to say Caesar is Lord. Paul and Silas are teaching, no, man, Jesus is. Don't you worship Caesar. Where's the line? Well, they found the line and crossed over it. When it comes to our faith, that's where we don't cross, where we don't compromise. And they paid for it, by the way. Just so you know, if you find where the line is and the line is different from your faith and you have to go with your faith, there will be consequences. Be ready to pay them because they will happen. Every authority sphere derives its authority from Christ's authority. Remember what Jesus did, Philippians 2. He lays it all aside, the kenosis. He empties himself. He lays it all aside, and he comes to earth. And he has no authority here whatsoever. He says that he has taken his only authority is the Father's. He dies for your sin and mine after living a sinless life. Rises on the third day, and he says, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. All authority is Christ's authority or derives from it. Remember what he tells the disciples, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You know what he was talking about? Yoke has to do with teaching. You've been under the teaching of men's religion. My teaching is easy, my burden is light, unlike the rules and religion of men. Every authority on earth derives its authority from Christ's authority. And when authorities contradict God's express commands, ultimate authority falls to Christ. Do you catch that? When the government says something different than what Christ says, the ultimate authority is what you go with. Sorry, you're not allowed to teach your kids the Bible. You're not allowed to tell me that. Sorry. Ain't going to work that way. You cannot correct your kids. Yes, I can. Watch me. And then I'll spank you too. You may like it. I don't know what your thing is, but I'm just saying. Even within church, if I say something that goes against God's word, what do you go with? Yeah, we've done this over and over again, right? If we preach as a church, you can't watch non-Christian TV. Yes, I can. You can't listen to non-Christian music. Yes, I can. You hold to your freedom because it's for freedom that Christ set us free. And maybe find a new church, right? You don't stay within a toxic church. And so here's what is normative. We follow the governing authorities. We submit to them. We respect them. We honor them. But when they turn evil, we have to obey Christ. We do it respectfully. But we have to obey Christ. I'm sorry, I can't do what you're saying. I've got to obey God rather than man. That's straight out of the book of Acts. Let's go further. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct as originally created, but to bad. Do you want to be unafraid of the one in authority? Do what is good and you will have its approval. That's the way God created. That's under God's governing authority, the way that he wants it to be. It's true under the original intention of government. And for Christians, this will still often be true even in an evil government. If I'm seeking peace, if I'm loving others, if I'm serving, government is going to leave me alone for the most part. There will be some areas, because there always have been throughout history where we got problems. But if I'm seeking peace, loving others, and serving, for the most part, government's like, okay, they're okay. For it is God's servant for your good. That's the purpose of government. But if you do wrong, be afraid, be very afraid, because it does not carry the sword for no reason. For it is God's servant, an avenger that brings wrath on the one who does wrong. Now, when you're reading this, do you get the feeling that he's writing this knowing that Rome is going to hear it and he's trying to say, hey, Rome, we're not after you. We're not trying to rise up. That's what he's doing here. And speaking to the Sanhedrin as much as he is to the Christians in Rome. Peter recognizes, by the way, let's just throw this in, that you could do good and suffer for it. Here's what Peter says. It is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for evil. So if you're going to suffer, if you're going to go through hard times, let it be for doing the right thing, not the wrong thing. Let's go back. Therefore, you must submit, not only because of wrath, what the government may do to you, but because of your conscience. So I don't want to be punished, but in the end, I want to be able to stand before God and say, to the best of my ability, I tried to serve under the government, even if it's not what I wish it were. My conscience is clean before you. That's one of your guardrails. All biblical submission to authority is submission to Christ's lordship over me. Ooh, I don't like this. Let me say it again. All biblical submission to authority is submission to Christ's lordship over me. Whether it is my parents, church, and I'm not talking about some weird top-down cult, but I mean, hey man, you're trying to help me. I'll listen. and government. Now, the next verse is really, really hard. So let me just give you the trigger warning. The next verse, especially as we get to April, the next verse is really hard. Anybody know where we're going here? Around the 15th of April? Yeah, I don't want to trigger you, a little PTSD. Next verse is hard. And for this reason, you pay taxes. Oh, that sucks. Since the authorities are God's servants, continually attending to these tasks. Tasks. I don't like where my taxes go. You ever feel that way? Like, I don't like where we're funding. I can tell you specific things that we are funding, including gender studies in Pakistan, but all of it. I don't like where my taxes are going. Me either. And in America, you have the right to speak out and to vote. But here's the thing, it's not your money, it's Caesar's. It's going to go back in a box one day anyway. Render to Caesar what is Caesar's. Yeah, but I won't have as much money. Yeah. Where's your source of security, your bank account or your God? Just give. Even though they're not going to use it right, even though it bothers you and it does me, just give it. If it's what you owe, pay it. And then trust that God will take care of you. Pay your obligations to everyone. What you owe, your debts, under Christ, because He established authority. Pay your obligations to everyone. Taxes to who you owe taxes. Tolls to those you owe tolls. Respect to those whom you owe respect. Honor to those who you owe honor. In other words, let no debt remain outstanding. Pay what you owe and be done with it. So there are politicians, probably not true for you, but for me, there are politicians that I don't really respect. I know you love all of the Americas, all of them, federal, state, all. You love every politician, right? You want to give them a warm, fuzzy hug. When you think of them in the morning and you wake up, you just smile. I'm so glad they're in positions of power over us. This is awesome. You pay what you owe. Respect. It doesn't have to be the person. It can be because of their office. Right? Because of their office, I can respect the office. But I don't have to like what they do. I don't like corruption. You shouldn't either. I don't like hypocrisy. I don't like the politicians who have said you can't during COVID times, and then they're caught doing it. Drives me up a frickin' wall. Frickin' is from the Hebrew. Yeah, you have to say, frickin'. Yeah, I don't like it either. But I'll respect the office because God has commanded me to, even while I call out the corruption, because I'm American and the Constitution has given me that freedom. Yeah. Don't owe anything to anyone. In other words, pay what you owe, except to love, agape, seek what is in the best interest of one another. This is within the body now. For the one who loves one another has fulfilled the law. No, let no debt remain outstanding. Love is a continuous debt. So you always, under Christ, owe that to one another. Seek what is in best interest of the other person always. Always, always, always. Because it fulfills or completes the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet any other commandment, do not covet any other commandment, are summed up by this commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law. Jesus tells a story when he's asked, who is my neighbor? Do you remember the story? There's a Jewish guy, he gets beat, left for dead, robbed. Jews hate Samaritans. They're half-breeds. They've compromised the religion. The Jew is on the side of the road, bleeding out, going to die if nobody helps him. Samaritan comes along, says, this is a guy who hates me. Spits on him and goes, no. Sees him, stops at great personal risk to himself, helps the guy, puts him on the horse, donkey, whatever it is, takes him into a town, pays for him to stay there and to be taken care of. That's his neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the one who hates you, wishes you were dead, as though you love yourself. That's an obligation you owe according to what we just read. Ooh, that could be some of our politicians. As angry as I may get, love your neighbor as yourself. Seek what is in their best interest. That's agape. The emotion does not have to go with it. It is the act of seeking what is in their best interest. Agape love is what I owe my neighbor, because it's what I owe God. It's what God gave me while we were enemies. While we were enemies of the cross, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And it's a command from the God that I serve. It changes how I look at everyone, including the governing authorities. It changes how I look at them. Besides this, since you know the time, it is already the hour. I'm going to go fairly fast through this part. For you to wake up from sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believe. In other words, Paul's saying, get woke, get truly woke. Live in light of the imminent return of Christ. The night is nearly over, the day is near. Let us discard the deeds of darkness, put on the armor of life, of light. Live for Jesus fully while you can, he's saying. Let us walk with decency as in the daytime. Not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual impurity and promiscuity, not in quarreling and jealousy. Because when I do that, I'm not living under authority. I'm not loving my neighbor as myself. It's written. Now listen, these things are written. If you look at that list, these things are written because Christians were doing these things in this day, in this age. And he's calling them back to, hey man, you need to serve God. And so, why don't you quit getting stoned and drunk? You need to be sober-minded. Why don't you quit messing around? Fornicating, adultery. Why don't you quit causing trouble among people and dividing people and gossiping and quarreling? And why don't you leave that stuff alone? Because if you're under the authority of God, you're responsible to Him. And you're not loving people well if you're doing these things. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love the second part. We will work this out another time, but I love this part. The second part is this. Make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is a discipleship moment. We'll talk about this in different discipleship groups coming up. Make no provision for the flesh. The moment you know something is wrong, and in your head you're planning out how to get the time to do it, you've made a provision for the flesh. You make no provision, you make no room, no space to do what you know is wrong. Even in your head, you don't say, okay, it's this day, family's gone, I can do this thing. No. Make no provision for the flesh at all. That's a great verse. Here's what my pastor told me. I'm going one step too far, and I know it. I'm going to do it anyway. Let's step off the cliff together, shall we? Brian, when you're dating, if you're kissing, you weren't meant to kiss for hours on end without going any further, and you just can't stop, leave or do whatever it takes to take care of yourself rather than falling into sin. Make no provision for the flesh, whatever it takes. I drive by that ABC store. Yeah, but you don't stop at one drink. Make no provision for the flesh. Drive a different way if you have to. Right? Oh, but I just need to buy things. I feel good when I've got something from Amazon coming to me. Yeah, but you're way in debt, Brian. And so I tell you what, why don't you cut up the credit card so you can't do that no more? Why don't you remove it from your Amazon account? Make no provision for the flesh. Whatever it takes, make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires, but instead put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So why do I pray for those in positions of authority? We're almost finished. Stay with me. Here's what it says. Here's what Paul says in another place. I urge that petitions, prayers, and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority. You could take that and say presidents and Congress and state government. So here's your purpose verse. We as believers may lead a tranquil and quiet life that'll go well with us in all godliness and dignity. So I pray for the governing authorities for the purpose of allowing us to live in peace with godliness and dignity. That's why we pray for human flourishing. I don't have to love the government to pray for them. As a matter of fact, the less I like them, probably the more I need to pray for them, right? Because they really need to be guided. If they're really that ungodly, I need to pray for them. It's what I need to do. God created authority for our good. And so where's the line? How far do I go with respect and honor and obeying them? As far as I can, even if I don't like it, up until the point that it contradicts God's expressed will for His people. And then for us, because we're American, constitution over that which goes against the Constitution, but we're told we should do. Because that's American. Does that make sense? In fact, you know what, let's do it this way. It's a good place to stop. Questions, comments, disagreements. This would be a good time for any of that, even pushback. Questions, comments, disagreements.